Representative Jim Joy joins us, recapping a busy couple of days with the Morehead Day at the chamber, obviously, did, and just a busy time in the legislature. How are things going?
You know, Scott, it's great. Thanks for having me again. And, you know, I always appreciate your time on the air and everybody. We're down here. We're getting our work done. One of the things we're, you know, I'd like to see is paid family leave. We got to get working on this, you know, and hopefully we can get either moved out more so it delays it or do something. You know, I have not yet had nobody reach out to me and say they want it. The businesses, the communities, the schools, the cities, the counties are all reaching out to me and saying, can we get rid of this? Can we delay it? This needs to be fixed. This isn't ready. These are things we got to really, really listen to Minnesotans, and we got to listen to our communities. We got to listen to our constituents. This is what we're hearing from business owners stuff. This is a tough thing to have.
And let's talk a little bit, refresh everybody's memory on how that's paid for. There is a payroll tax that pays for that. My understanding is that number keeps growing, and businesses would have the ability to have that shared by the employees. So we're talking about a tax here, right?
Yeah, so when you think of it, you know, they talk about paid family leave, a benefit of having 20 weeks off and getting 60% of your wages, you know, but it's coming with a payroll tax. And that payroll tax started at 0.77, so half shared by the employer and half by the employee, right under their checks without them having a choice. And then it also has moved up to 0.88 already, and we haven't even started this program. This program creates 400 new state employees to run this program at a average $16 million payroll, $16 million a year for this benefit. You know, there are so many more ways to do this, whether it's a private option or something like that. But to have the state of Minnesota telling every business, even if you have one employee or you have a temporary business, that you have to participate in this. So when people have struggled for years to get the average wage from a starting Minnesota, you know, wage of $8.75 to $10 to $10.25 to $14, wherever we're at with the minimum wage, we try to bump the minimum wage up so people are making. Now you're going to put, if they make a $14 wage, now you're going to put a payroll tax, even if they split it, and it's a 0.44, can be eventually, if that thing has to, the needle is able to move up to 1.25. But that will affect their pay. So a $14 employee could lose, feel their check go down because they have to do this payroll tax. I understand totally. It's a benefit so that when they have something come up, it's 20 weeks off or 12 weeks off, however it comes. But this isn't a program that as soon as you're on this program, your paychecks just continue. There's going to be a delay. This is not the right program, and it needs to be fixed.
In talking to your colleagues on the Democratic side of the aisle, especially in the Senate, Rob Kubek, for example, said, Dean tells me they're ready to go. So there's no delay. We're not going to delay anything. Talk about, first of all, your response to whether or not they're ready to go. And secondly, if they're not ready to go, will they be ready to go to implement this program?
I don't think it's ready to go. You know, they talked about 400 new employees. I've heard they've hired 30 employees for this program. You know, is the computer system up to date? We know today that the DMVs that we have out there run a DOS program. Many people don't remember what DOS is, but that's what they have. That's what they've been given. These are what our counties have, a DOS program. These are things we got to work on. And not, you know, the counties have talked about their computer program. So we're focusing on this program, saying it's ready to go. And if it's not, what's going to happen? What's the repercussions? Nothing. You know, I just wish, I don't know what the rush is to get this. A delay isn't repealing it. This is just moving the start date out so we can make sure everything is in balance. Everything's checks. You know, we could test it, make sure it goes. We've known programs in Minnesota have started before from the state and have failed.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but there's not a program that started that didn't cost more next year and the year after and the year after. So just talk about the budget picture of Minnesota and whether or not you can afford to begin this program.
Well, and what we got coming up is in our next, we're going to find out on Thursday here what the forecast is looking like. And we're not hearing it's good. You know, this is going from an $18.5 billion surplus last year, and we can say a $10 billion one-time fund was in there, and we didn't fund roads and bridges. We raised taxes $10 billion and grew government by 40%. And we're looking at $5 billion looming deficit. You know, so now just, you know, you never want to cut a program that's running because they're usually successful. Keep in mind, this program has not started. So if we're going to need some money, this is the program to go after.
Handicap your chances. What do you think? I mean, obviously you have a governor who's committed to this politically. So if you killed it, he'd veto it, obviously. You don't have the numbers to override the veto. So do you trim around the edges? I mean, what's realistically possible politically?
Well, realistically, I think a delay, a small delay, even out to 2027 is where we can go. You know, we have the governor held by the Democrats. We have the Senate held by a Democrat majority. And we got the House right now that is held by us by one seat until after the special election on March 11th. We don't know how that's going to turn out. But, you know, I just don't understand the passion of moving a program that is not going to be ready. And we don't want to see programs fail. We want to see them come out. We don't want to be doing the O factor and all of a sudden moving this to 1.25. And people, I don't think, understand this is going to hit their paychecks in January next year. There is no opt-in, opt-out. This is going to hit them.
A lot of the folks that came down with the chamber recognize this as a train that's left the station. I heard from a number of your colleagues, hey, their voices are super important right now in sort of continuing to fight on this front. What advice would you have for business owners, for managers, for people from public and private entities about what they should do to engage on this battle right now?
I think the business owners, the schools, and everybody right now need to be emailing the governor, need to be emailing the Democrat colleagues, you know, Senator Kupek and all the other Democrat colleagues on the other side of the aisle, and letting them know this isn't ready, that we do not want this. We need to start seeing emails flood in, not just from chambers or organizations like that, but from the business that it's going to impact and what Minnesota wants. We need to have those people reaching out and letting the governor know, we're not ready for this. This needs to be slowed. This isn't something we want. This is when people need to get involved and start sending it out.
This discussion and program is a symptom of a much larger problem. I might even argue, if we're talking medical terms, a disease that has come in a wave from Minneapolis, St. Paul, and the metro area, further and further into Minnesota. I hear it from the biggest of the big businesses. Kurt Zellers yesterday spoke to the group, talked about their concerns, these mega businesses that represent hundreds of thousands of employees from Minnesota, saying this business environment is not good, you're going the wrong direction. And obviously they have a big voice. Small business doesn't have as big a voice. Talk a little bit about what you see happening here that is impacting negatively the economy and the overall business environment of Minnesota.
You know, I'm going to jump on paid family leave real quick again, Scott, and that's American Crystal Sugar. Union, big company, they do not like this. You know, and usually they like things, but it's collective bargaining. It's a big thing for them. You know, one of the things Minnesota needs to get back in line is moving our corporate income tax prices down. We need to get businesses here in Minnesota. We are continually to watch businesses leave. And we can argue back and forth that they're not, but they are. We are seeing it. We are seeing bigger businesses move because of our climate and our business climate in Minnesota. We need to start moving that needle down. And I understand it's going to take a while, but we need to make this. The regulations are way overreaching. I mean, you talk about starting a business here and just getting your state plumbing permit compared to North Dakota. There's a delay. It's a long delay if you want to start something soon.
How big of a draw is North Dakota right now, given obviously what's happening with this administration? A lot of the shackles are coming off on the regulation side. Obviously, they've been business friendly. South Dakota has a reputation of being business friendly. How much of a draw is that? How much should constituents of Minnesota realize that you're in a border battle?
Well, when you look at that, when you look at you're going to retire and your Social Security tax, you know, you were a successful business owner. Say in Minnesota, you started at 7 years old selling lemonade and you became real successful in Minnesota and you made a lot of money because you went out and took the risk and you now are retiring and you're in that higher bracket. Your Social Security income tax is still taxed on retirement. North Dakota, you can go over there. Minnesota, we're one of eight. You know, South Dakota doesn't do it. Plus, they don't have, you know, North Dakota moved their income tax brackets down to 2 and 0. South Dakota has none. Minnesota's still sitting at 9 all the way down to 5. Our lowest is 5. And these other states aren't even close to our lowest. We need to do some work here.
Politically speaking, obviously, you got a battle. You mentioned the special election. Talk about that a little bit. I understand a very good Republican candidate in a typically Democrat district, but there's been so much focus over I don't know if it's illegal or just deceit, but a member who said he lived in the district when he didn't, and he won, so that's why it's up. Can we help on that seat as folks from greater Minnesota that want to see a Republican win that seat?
There's been a lot of work on it, and there's been a lot of work with our caucus and a lot of people outreaching and helping in 40B. That's a seat they ran a candidate that did not even live in the district. You know, that's shame on them. They should have known this. You know, you always look at your candidates you're going to run. That is something I feel I just have a feeling we have a good chance at. That puts us at 68. We still have to remember, once we get 68, we could pass bills through the House. We still have a Democrat-controlled Senate and a Democrat-controlled governor. So, I mean, we feel confident. If not, at the end of the day, the worst-case scenario for this House is 67-67.
Last question related to a vote Monday in the House on the protection of girls' sports and the effort that was done there. Obviously, the fact that you have the numbers in the House now, you can actually put that vote on the floor and have a vote, put your Democratic members in a position of being against it. They were all in lockstep, 100%. Not one Democrat in Minnesota thought it was a good idea to say, boys, you can't be in girls' sports. Can you bring that bill back another way? Is that still alive? And is there not any Democrats that are going to recognize just pure common sense here? Some of those Democrats have to be moderate, no?
So in that bill, what happened is that bill came to the floor. We had debate on it like we did. Voted 67-66. One of our members changed their vote to no. Brought it back up, and now it's tabled. It's sitting on the general register. It can come up at any time up to the speaker. So that is sitting there. I did not think that bill, I thought that bill would have went through. It's just surprising, the 67-66, the lockstep. But we saw that for the last 2 years with the Democrat control, the trifecta. There was not one that peeled off on anything. You know, and I always say, keep in mind, last year, the last 2 years, was my first term down here. They did not need one of our votes. We did not have to be here. But we knew it was our job the day that session started to be here. Now this year, fast forward, they skipped 3 weeks. And we still need their votes. So hopefully we can get some stuff done. We're getting short on time. Time is ticking. But hopefully we can get some stuff done.
Anything else you want to tell us?
Nope. I appreciate everything, Scott. And I just appreciate everybody voicing their concerns, sending us emails and keeping us updated. You know, and again, I'm here for the greater Minnesota to be a voice.
Thanks, Jim.
Thank you.
All right, sir. Well done.